My fellow Americans, we have to be different than this. America has to be better than this. And I believe America is so much better than this. Just look around.
In his first moments as president, Joe Biden used his inauguration address to describe an aspirational vision of America, a nation united domestically, respected internationally, and an exemplar of goodness to our neighbors. And the Biden administration put immigration right at the heart of that vision. In the first 100 days, President Biden used executive orders to reverse many Trump-era immigration practices and sent a significant reform package to the Congress with hopes of changing the nation's immigration policies. Nearly a year later, the Biden administration's stance on immigration is less clear. On Monday, the Biden administration restarted the Trump-era border program known as Remain in Mexico. It forces asylum seekers coming from the U.S.'s southern border to wait in Mexico for their immigration hearings. And the Biden administration ended the policy shortly after his inauguration, but was ordered to restart this contentious program in August after a federal judge ruled that the administration had improperly halted it. The Supreme Court upheld that decision on appeal. Now, under the Trump administration, asylum seekers and migrants who were affected by this Remain in Mexico policy often lived in tent camps, and according to the nonprofit Human Rights First, hundreds faced murder, rape, torture, kidnapping, and other violent assaults. The reinstatement of the Remain in Mexico policy has been criticized by advocates, lawyers, and human rights groups, and Biden himself campaigned on ending the program. Here's Biden during a debate with Trump last fall.
This is the first president in the history of the United States of America that anybody seeking asylum has to do it in another country. That's never happened before in America. They're sitting in squalor on the other side of the river.
The Biden administration recently negotiated with Mexico to provide better conditions for asylum seekers, and the Department of Homeland Security announced in October new plans to terminate the program. But even as the Biden administration has tried to distance itself from its predecessor, like this.
We were briefed on the steps needed to clean up the humanitarian disaster that the Trump administration has systematically created on our southern border. We will institute humane and orderly responses.
The White House is now expanding the scope of who will be sent back across the border to include people from non-Spanish-speaking countries like Haiti, which was not previously in the policy. The Biden administration has also continued the Trump-era emergency pandemic policy known as Title 42 that allows the U.S. to expel migrants for public health reasons without allowing them to request asylum. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and today on The Takeaway, we're looking into why the Biden administration's approach to immigration appears so similar to the policies of its predecessor, policies that Democrats and the president himself previously criticized.
America has to be better than this.
Aura Bogado, who is senior reporter and producer at Reveal from the Center of Investigative Reporting, is here with me now. Welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks so much for having me on.
So is this just a matter of the Biden administration's hands being tied by the federal courts and not having any choice but to reinstate and move forward with the Remain in Mexico policy?
No, you know, I think there's a lot of choice. You referred to some of the promises that Biden made as a candidate. And obviously, when a candidate makes such a big political promise, such as ending MPP, there's an understanding that there's a strategy at play. And I think a lot of us are left wondering what that strategy was. Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas issued memos to stop this program without so much as soliciting a public comment period, right? The administration could have then heard from stakeholders, including what happens to people, to actual human beings as a result of this policy, which you just mentioned, right? Shelters in Mexico are already at capacity. And so one might think like, oh, that's too bad. People have to stay in Mexico. The weather might not be as nice, or maybe there's not enough room at the shelter. But it's so much more serious than that. We're talking about rape. We're talking about torture. We're talking about very, very violent deaths, such as being stabbed to death. Right. And, you know, I think that one misconception here, too, is that the Supreme Court, it didn't assert really anything that the lower court said. It simply declined a request to stop the lower court's injunction. Right. Biden also expanded MPP. He expanded this program. And I think that's really important to remember. That's a choice. It's now broader than it was under Trump. Haitians weren't included in the Trump program, and now Haitians are included in MPP under Biden. The entire Western Hemisphere is.
And why do you think that is?
And that's a really good question, right? I don't report out of DC, but you know, there has been some pretty good reporting coming out of what's happening at the White House. And you know, I think that certain advisors, Susan Rice in particular, have been informing Biden in a way. He gets to choose who his aides are. You know, Susan Rice reportedly barred COVID vaccines to immigrants and to migrants in custody, right? She's apparently backed the deportation of those Haitian migrants that we saw, you know, on the southern border after mounted police were going after them with lariats, right? Who you surround yourself with is important. Biden is... he is the president of the United States. He is arguably the most powerful person in the world. And he's making a choice, right? And a lot of those choices are counter to what he promised as candidate.
Now, the Biden administration also continues to implement Title 42 to expel adult migrants. What is going on? And again, do you have a sense of that? Is that similarly about... sort of this sense of not being politically viable for them, you know, by their own understanding, to make a more, you know, might be described as some as humane choice, might be described as some as a more open bordered choice,
or as a choice to have an effective asylum system. Right, which is one of the unique features sort of in the world about of the United States. Right, it's a long-standing thing here. Title 42 effectively bars asylum seekers at the southern border on this premise of public health. CDC doctors in particular, you know, didn't believe that it had any backing, and the Trump administration pushed it through anyway. It's always remained under Biden. Title 42 is also known as the Stephen Miller special, by the way. And, you know, along with MPP, which is another Trump era policy, these promises that were made by the then candidate, they remain in place. And again, I think that it's important to have a strategy if you want to execute something very different than what Trump did. And you know, on these two policies, it looks like a failure so far, and it looks like the promises that were made have been broken.
Presumably, a presidency where either the president incumbent himself is going to seek re-election, or he's going to want to have the power to, you know, put his weight behind whomever the Democrats choose in 3 years to be their nominee. Given how clear his language was on that, given that you can sit here and say, here are the promises, they were not kept. What is the calculation you think is going on here about why it's okay to ignore immigration advocates and those for whom reversing the Trump era immigration policies, you know, was an important part of their decision to vote for Joe Biden?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if we go back to the Obama era, with the exception of DACA, you know, that there are some big exceptions, but Obama was known as the deporter in chief. He deported more people year by year than any other president in the history of the United States, including Donald Trump, right? And so this idea that immigration is necessarily going to be the issue which drives voters, I don't know necessarily that that's the way that the Democrats see it. And you know, as a reporter who's covered immigration under Obama and under Trump and now under Biden, I think it's hard in general to get the public to care about immigrants. I think it was a lot easier under Trump because there was this assumption that he was, you know, so right-wing and so anti-immigrant. And it's true that words absolutely do matter. I think that, you know, it did make a lot of people cringe when, and rightfully so, when, you know, Trump used certain language to demonize and criminalize human beings. We don't hear that from the Biden administration. I do think that that's a marked difference. But when it comes to policy, they are very similar. I'm not sure exactly what the calculation is. But, you know, I will say that I think the same exact policies that are playing out under Biden would garner a lot more attention and a lot more public condemnation had Trump still been in office. And what I do see is, you know, this reflexive defense of Biden, protecting Biden and protecting the party. And it's unfortunate, right? You know, then candidate Biden campaigned on this promise of a free and humane immigration system. He specifically said that, you know, it's a national shame when a parent and a child drown seeking entry into the United States. And that was just a year ago. And in September, I think we all saw images of Biden's mounted Border Patrol agents corralling Haitian parents and children at the southern border. And if you look closely at some of those videos, you'll see that there, you know, there's this little kid, this little child, and they're nearly trampled by one of these Border Patrol horses, right? And, you know, one has to question, is that a national shame? Is it only a national shame under Trump, or is it still a national shame under Biden?
All right. I so appreciate this insight. I hosted a television program during the second term of the Obama administration. And I can tell you, just as an empirical matter, that some of our lowest ratings were whenever we would talk about immigration stories during the Obama second term administration. And that is less an indication of something going on with President Obama and more of an indication about sort of our willingness to turn away as a set of audiences from the immigration question and these fundamental questions that persist around public policy. Aura Bogado is a reporter at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Melissa.